This morning, we come to chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. And Paul is teaching us the results of justification by faith and how to have assurance of our salvation. And here's a very, very important passage of Scripture filled with great doctrinal truth, enabling us to live and glory in tribulation. Would you follow as I read 12 through 21? Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death came to all men because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass might increase or be exposed. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, in looking at a passage of Scripture and attempting to get at the heart of the message and what this is all about, it's an important thing to look at words that are repeated. Now, in this passage, Paul uses the word one 11 times. Of course, depending on which translation you have, but that would be close. The word one. Now, why does he do that? He does that to show identification. We are one with Adam, or we are one with Christ. He also uses the word reign, R-E-I-G-N, speaking of Adam's reign and Christ's reign, and he uses this five times. He uses the phrase, the two words, much more five times, so that we come out with this wonderful, wonderful truth. And if we don't get anything out of this passage, please remember this. In Christ, we have gained much more than we ever lost in Adam. That's what Paul is saying. It's much more. In Christ, we have gained much more than we ever lost in Adam. In Christ, we become sons of God. We are taken into his family. Well, let's work through the passage a bit. We won't have time to examine each verse carefully, But let's look at some of the main things. The first point here in verses 12 through 14 speaks of the entrance of sin into the human race. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death by sin, we all die because we have all sinned. Sin and death come through one man, Adam. Now, in theology, this is called the doctrine of original sin. The original sin is with Adam, and our original sin comes from him in that his nature is transmitted to us. Every human being receives the sin nature of Adam. Now, in reading the Genesis passage, we learn that it was Eve who entered into the sin first. But she is not recognized in this passage at all, because Adam is the legal head of the race. He is the federal head of the race. He is the representative human being of all human beings, and therefore it is Adam who is called into account for the sin. Sin and death came through one man, Adam. All mankind is under condemnation of and death because of Adam's sin. Adam's sin brought death and sin to the human race. We are born in sin. Not because of the physical aspect of it, but because we are spiritually dead by receiving the sin nature of Adam. As sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and this way death came to all men because all sinned. And David makes this clear in his Psalms as he writes about that. Death came by one man. The human race is under the condemnation and wrath of God, and death is certain. We will all die from this physical body. Every human being. That is our destiny. The important thing is the eternal destiny. But what happens to the unbeliever in this condition is the attempt to avoid the thought of death, the attempt to escape the thought of death. It's too painful. Death is a serious problem for us, and it brings pain and grief and suffering and uncertainty. But we know biblical truth. We understand our sin. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. It's already here. Engaging in acts of sin hasn't made me a sinner. I'm already a sinner. And engaging in the acts of sin is the expression of my nature. Now, we're all in the same boat here. No human being is exempt, ever. And the only one who was not born with a sin nature is our Lord Jesus Christ, because he had no earthly father. A generation ago, a man in the United States who was a medical doctor and also a Bible teacher wrote a book called The Chemistry of the Blood. And he proved, at least to his own satisfaction, that the sin nature is transmitted through the blood of the male. And so that's why this passage blends in with that truth, and he probably had it correct. And so we enter life as sinners. And you say to me, Bill, you mean that sweet little baby girl is a sinner? Yes, she is. She received the sin nature of Adam and her grandfather and her father. She's a sinner. She will need salvation. We will need to pray for the time when God will save her from that sin. Every one of us are under the curse of Adam's sin. Now, some people say, is that fair? Well, who are you to reply, O man, against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, what have you done to me? Yes, it's very fair, because we not only have his nature, but we sin. Death came to all men because all have sinned. And I am responsible for my sin. And I can't cop out and blame it on Adam. If I had been the one who was placed in the Garden of Eden, and if this dear lady had been placed there with me as Eve, she would have done what Eve did. And I would have succumbed as Adam did. So don't cop out. It's just a representative of the human race. Adam represents us. So the Bible kind of works on the representative of principle. Who do you want to represent you before God facing your eternal destiny? Do you want to be in Adam, or do you want to be in Christ as your representative? This is a positional truth. Every human being is in Adam or in Christ. That's what Paul is saying here. We need to know that. Now, he gives some contrasts in this passage. In verse 15, he speaks about the contrast between Adam's offense and the free gift of Christ. But the gift is not like the trespass, for if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow? Because of Adam's sin, all die under condemnation and wrath. Because of Christ's death, many live. That is, have life, spiritual life now. We have been given life and been given it more abundantly because of the free gift of God's grace. And then he goes on to list the contrast between the effect of Adam's sin and Christ's obedience. Adam's sin brought judgment and condemnation. Do you remember the words that God said to them before they sinned? About what he expected from them, and said, if you sin, you will die. He told them that. You will die. And there are three kinds of death. One is physical. In the day that they sinned, they began to die physically. Their bloodstream started to become contaminated, diseased, polluted, susceptible to death. They started to die when they sinned. Now, they lived a long time in those days because it took a while for the human bloodstream to get where ours is, where every disease there is, it comes to us. But the day they sinned, they began to die physically. They died eternally, in that if God hadn't stepped in and rescued them there in the garden when they were hiding from him, and provided a sacrifice of an animal for them, Adam and Eve would have gone to hell. They died physically, they died eternally, but for God's grace. They also died spiritually, in the sense that it appears in Genesis that there was regular fellowship with God. God talked to them, they talked to him, and there was a oneness there that was lost. When they sinned, they ran from God. They hid themselves. They did not want him, and God said, "Why are you hiding?" They said, "Because we felt guilty." And guilty people don't want God around. We want to hide. So there's a contrast between Adam's offense and the gift of Christ, between the effects of Adam's sin and Christ's obedience. Now in Christ we have justification and righteousness. Paul also gives a contrast between the reign of Adam and the reign of Christ, in that Adam was given dominion over the creation, and Christ is given dominion over the spiritual life of his people. Under Adam, sin reigns. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now then, Paul also gives a contrast between the one act of Adam and the act of Christ. And he speaks of Adam's sin as the one trespass, the one disobedience that caught the human race in the kind of life that we have. And in Christ, he expresses the one act on the cross, the one supreme sacrifice for sin. Disobedience of Adam, obedience of Christ, in contrast to what we have now. And then he goes on to contrast between law and grace, verse 20. The law was added. That is, God gave directions, instructions to Adam and Eve and Noah and everybody else down through the line. But when Israel came into the Egypt there and was going out of Egypt, God gave them the law through Moses. And that's expressed here. The law was added so that sin might be exposed. And it only shows the increase of sin because we can't keep the law. God's standard is too high. No one ever kept the law but our Lord Jesus Christ. No one. It's too high a standard. What God was doing was showing his holiness and the sinful nature of man so far from that standard. And so he says, the law was added. When Moses came, God expressed himself in that way. And you have that in Exodus 19 and 20. And he says that the sin increased in the sense that people realize their sinfulness. Now the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3 states his character qualities. I mean, he boasts of his heritage. And he, in a sense, boasts of his human righteousness. Keeping the law, he says, I was better than all of them. And then he'll say, the law nailed me, just killed me, because of covetousness. You might say, well, I've never robbed a bank and I'm not a criminal. But covetousness is a sin.
the greed of wanting, and the greed of hurting other people to get what we want is as sinful as robbing the bank. So sin has increased. Verse 21, so that, here's the purpose, just as sin ruled in death, so also grace might reign or rule through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you remember at the beginning I said to remember something? In Christ, we have gained much more than we ever lost in Adam. Let me say it another way. The eternal grace of God in Christ is more than adequate to deal with sin. We have to remember that. God's grace reigns over Adam's sin. Now, I know we live our life here and we are failures and we are not very successful spiritually and we stumble around being Christians. But you know, to dwell on that is a sinful thing. And to think about yourself and your failure and your sin is a sinful thing. And we need to get out of dwelling in Adam and poor me into the position of being in Christ and dwell in the grace of God, ruling, giving me righteousness and justification. Now, we don't deny being in Adam. Don't deny now being in Christ, and don't sell him short, and don't belittle him, and don't deny him by trying to live over here. Do not let sin reign. Do not let guilt reign. We are called to glorify God by living under the grace of God and accepting the truth of this passage. Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Lord God, we pray for help. And that by the power of the Holy Spirit, this truth may reign in our hearts, rule our hearts, so that our life is governed by your grace and not by our own sinful selfishness. Lord, deliver us from ourself and move us over to live in the position in Christ, under grace, with eternal life through him. God, grant your mercy and grace to us this morning, that the Holy Spirit may move from heart to heart and implant this truth in our hearts and so cause us to glorify you. May Jesus Christ be praised. Amen.